From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. Washington and Colorado are attempting something that's never been done before. They're trying to set up a regulatory system for growing, processing, and selling marijuana and marijuana products to adults for recreational purposes. Now, other places have decriminalized pot, but Washington and Colorado are condoning it. And joining us to compare and contrast the Colorado system and ours, Colorado Public Radio reporter Ben Marcus, who joins us from Denver. Hi, Ben.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And in our studios, KUOW's Amy Radel, who's been on the pot beat here. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, hi.
So first of all, 420 just went by. It's known as a day for celebration on marijuana. How is it celebrated in Colorado, which, like Washington State, passed the legalization of marijuana?
Well, organizers, because we passed legalization, we're expecting the biggest crowd ever. 420 is a huge event here in Denver at Civic Center Park. They expected 80,000 people, and the idea was that they would let off the largest cloud of marijuana smoke at 420 the world has ever seen. They talked a lot about, you know, the peacefulness of it all, and it was kind of tragic. There was a shooting just about 40 minutes after 420. Two people were taken to the hospital, had been shot in the legs, mass chaos as the huge crowd ran away from the scene. Nobody died, but it really put a huge damper on the festivities.
Not what you want to hear on 420, particularly when people are celebrating the legalization of marijuana. What happened here in Seattle that you noticed?
I thought it was pretty muted. I know the day that the initiative took effect, there was a lot of buildup and questions about public partying and the police saying, please don't celebrate in this way because our state law does prohibit using marijuana in public. But, you know, some people gathered around the Space Needle and it never became a spectacle. So it worked out okay.
I did notice a cafe near us here in the University District in Seattle had a big sign up that said 420 Marijuana Cafe opening, big celebration. I don't know if that got followed through on or not. Well, comparing the two states, there are some things that are different. Both states have legalized marijuana for personal use up to an ounce. But now comes the implementation of regulation of this. And Ben, I want to start with you. One way that Colorado, I think, is ahead in regulating recreational marijuana is that you already regulate medical marijuana. Tell us a little bit about how it works.
That's right. Colorado has more than 500 operating retail medical marijuana dispensaries, the kinds that you see on the street there. In Denver alone, there are 220. There are as many medical marijuana dispensaries in the city of Denver as there are liquor stores. So it's become a huge industry here in Colorado. And lucky for them, they get first crack at becoming the recreational shops. So we expect many of them to simply switch over their business model or split a wall down the middle and do both at the same time.
And I understand that medical marijuana is vertically integrated. Could you explain that?
Sure. So there was a lot of fear when this first when they first set out rules for the medical marijuana industry that marijuana would cross state lines, that it would get smuggled into Nebraska and Kansas. And so what they did to kind of simplify the system was to force retail operations to grow 70% of their own product. They called it a shotgun marriage at the time because the growers and the retail were largely separated. And so a lot of these people had to come together around 2010 and form one single business.
So it seems to be working to a certain degree. Is the idea that in Colorado they would just replicate the medical marijuana system for recreational sales?
Exactly. And it works for some people. You know, the vertical integration model works great if you've got a ton of patients that you're growing for. You can support this massive grow operation. But if you're one of these smaller dispensaries with less than 100 patients, does it make sense to have this big warehouse somewhere else growing? And does it make sense every time you want to open up a retail shop, you have to open up a grow too? Those are the arguments against vertical integration. And that's been dropped actually from the recreational model. A lot of what we have has been kept. Vertical integration is one of the few things that's been dropped.
You're listening to Colorado Public Radio reporter Ben Marcus and also KUOW reporter Amy Radel. And we're talking about the different ways that both Washington and Colorado are implementing the legalization of marijuana sales to adults. Now, Amy Radel, I understand in our state, though, there will not be this kind of vertical integration in the recreational marijuana business. All those separate areas will be separate. Is that right?
Yeah, it's interesting. We seem to be coming at it from kind of opposite directions because here my understanding was that there was some vertical integration, at least in some cases, dispensaries that were growing their own. And their understanding is that they have to choose which kind of license they might want to seek from the state. They could be a grower or a processor or a retailer. You can't have more than one type of license. So the state seems to be wanting to discourage that kind of structure.
Now, here in Washington State, the Liquor Control Board is coming up with the regulations that will be going into place. Who is handling the details on it in Colorado, Ben?
So the legislature gets first crack at it, and they're going to develop the framework. You know, they're making the decisions whether or not you should be vertically integrated. They're making the decisions as to what kind of licenses there are. And then the Department of Revenue, which regulates medical marijuana, gaming, regulates liquor, they're going to come in and fill in all of those little details. Where do you put the cameras? You know, what kind of background check are you going to get into a dispensary? They have to go through and do all that minutia. They have to have their rules done this summer, and the legislature has to have their laws done by May 8th.
When will you be able to walk into a pot shop in Colorado and buy recreational marijuana?
January 1st, 2014. Now, that is... It depends on the city now, too, because cities can not only ban marijuana stores, but they can also delay the implementation. So some cities are saying, well, let's take a wait-and-see approach because things are moving so quickly. Some other cities that are more liberal, they're saying, hey, we're going to open our doors January 1st. We still really don't know where Denver is going to come out, and that's the big question because more than 40% of all the dispensaries are in the city of Denver, and they haven't said whether or not they'll even opt into recreational marijuana in the first place.
And I want to get back to the city versus rural split when it comes to regulating legal marijuana. But first of all, Amy Radel, here in our state, when will we be able to go into a store and buy marijuana?
We're not sure. It might be close to Colorado's timetable. The state has to have its requirements in place for licensing and everything by December 1st. And so there's been some speculation that we could have retail stores very soon after that, but we're not quite sure.
Now, it's very interesting to see what both states are doing when it comes to driving under the influence rules. Here in Washington State, it was part of the initiative passed by voters. In fact, the people who backed that initiative say that it was crucial in getting it passed because it convinced people there would be some kind of a standard for driving while under the influence of marijuana. But it sounds, Ben Marcus, as though in Colorado, you've got a very different situation when it comes to DUI laws.
Yeah, we have a marijuana DUI law making its way through the state legislature right now, and it's on its fourth try in four sessions. So I think that the Amendment 64 campaign folks, which legalized marijuana here in Colorado, they looked at the failure of that in the legislature year after year, the kind of effort that's mobilized against it, and they thought best not to pair those two together.
Now, when it comes to recreational marijuana that's passed by the voters here, one question that's come up is, will you be able to grow your own in your basement for your own recreational use? How's the law like here, Amy?
Well, growing your own is not permitted under the initiative. You're supposed to buy it in a state retail store, and those stores don't exist yet. So we're in this interesting lag time where you're allowed to have it. But as King County Prosecutor Dan Satterberg said, in Colorado, it appears you can grow your own. And in Washington, it's supposed to fall from the sky. There's no way outlined in the law to legally get it.
How about in Colorado, Ben Marcus? Will you be able to grow your own marijuana for recreational use?
You can grow your own marijuana right now if you were in Colorado. You can have six plants under Amendment 64, which is now part of our constitution here in Colorado. So I'm sure there are many people that are doing it. But, you know, growing the kind of marijuana that you can get in the medical marijuana dispensaries takes quite a bit of expertise to do that. So I think that we have kind of the same problem. It's legal to possess. It's legal to grow. But you can't really buy it anywhere yet. And that's a problem.
Ben Marcus from Colorado Public Radio is joining us, and of course our own Amy Radel, to talk about the differences and the similarities between the marijuana legalization rules in both states, which are both being drawn up right now. They're not finished by any means. And when it comes to Colorado, Ben, what's going to be the story with marijuana clubs or marijuana bars, places you can go to consume it in public? Will that be allowed?
It seems it's going to be left up to the municipalities, to the cities and counties that allow recreational marijuana in their borders. They're going to be allowed to decide if they want these smoking clubs or not. The mayor of Denver, Michael Hancock, came out a couple weeks ago and said he did not want that. And some city council members grilled him, saying, well, if we don't have smoking clubs and we have a bunch of people coming from out of state and around the world to come smoke marijuana in Denver and they buy in their retail shops, presumably they can't smoke it in their hotel rooms, and they're outlawed in the Constitution from smoking in public, where are they going to go?
Indeed. Where are they going to go? And this issue of pot clubs is very sensitive here in Washington State, isn't it, Amy Radel?
Yeah, we've already seen indications that the state has decided they don't want to encourage a Vancouver or Amsterdam-style scene here. There's just been these isolated reports of a couple bars in the area in Tacoma and Olympia trying to create these clubs. I know one club, I think they said people were using marijuana in a vaporizer, because we've also banned indoor cigarette smoking and indoor smoking. So there's kind of that issue on top of it. And now the Liquor Control Board says they're going to penalize liquor license holders who allow these kinds of clubs, and they're going to put out rules on that this summer. And they sound like they really don't want to see these things getting off the ground.
It seems to come down to image, right? I mean, that's been Mayor Hancock's thing, is we don't want to become the Amsterdam of the Rocky Mountains. We don't want people to come here, go into one of these smoking clubs, get really high, and then go walking around the city. I guess for him, at least, it comes down to image.
Right, even though people often rave about Amsterdam, so it's kind of interesting that it's also seen as the boogeyman of marijuana recreational.
Well, I'm waiting for the Wamsterdam T-shirts here in our state. We're talking about medical marijuana and recreational marijuana. Medical marijuana has been legal in both Colorado and Washington State, and now recreational marijuana is, but it's coming down to how it's going to be regulated and how it's going to work. And there's a lot of talk here in Washington State, Ben, about who will be allowed to participate in this business. Will they be allowed in with a criminal background? And another question that's come into place is, will big growers or big business from outside the state come in and be able to set up business? What are you doing about that in Colorado?
So if you want to own a retail marijuana, either a grow or one of these infused products where you would make the brownies, or a retail shop, you have to be a Colorado resident for the last 2 years. If you want to work in one of these dispensaries or grows or MIPS, these medical infused products, you would have to be a Colorado resident, but you wouldn't have to be here for 2 years. You could have just become a Colorado resident. And any financial interest in a dispensary, those have to be Colorado residents as well. And this is to limit, you know, the influence of outside players. And I think in one way it's to make the regulators happy. And another way it's actually to make the businesses that are here happy. They're Colorado residents. They're the ones who took the risks in the medical world. Why not restrict it to them, at least initially?
Amy Radel, how about in our state? Have they figured that out yet? Who's going to get to grow marijuana? And will there be regulations about criminal background checks? Or can you be from out of state? Can big business come in?
Yeah, we're still waiting to hear. But I think it's so interesting when Ben's talking about in Colorado, there's this sense of these people, the medical marijuana providers, have kind of blazed a trail. And it only makes sense to use their expertise to bring them over into the recreational side. Because here it's been a lot more chaotic. There's a lot more questions about, you know, people with financing from outside the state coming in. It's not at all clear that we're going to use the medical marijuana providers to become the recreational providers. In fact, one state legislator said, we may collaborate with the federal authorities to get rid of some of the medical marijuana dispensaries because we don't want them competing with our retail stores. So there's this kind of adversarial, chaotic feeling here that I think is very different from the evolution that you're describing in Colorado.
Ben Marcus, there's the question of taxation here in Washington State. Medical marijuana not taxed at all. I understand you pay a sales tax on it in Colorado, but the recreational marijuana, part of the law says it's going to be very heavily taxed, 25% at the growing stage, 25% at the processing stage, 25% at the retail stage. And there's all this concern about people, the pricing of marijuana might be so high that it'll drive people into the black market. Has the taxation of recreational marijuana become an issue in Colorado?
Absolutely. So here in Colorado, it's a little bit different. The only tax that was set out in the amendment was a 15% excise tax, with the first $40 million of that going to school construction. And so they needed to come up with more money for enforcement and for whatever fallout comes from this new industry. And so they passed, or they're considering passing, a 15% sales tax on top of that. So the consumer could be looking at paying close to 30% tax on their marijuana purchases. That includes state and local on top of that as well. So there is some fear that maybe we're taxing this a little too high and that we could keep the black market going by doing that. And then I remember being at these task force meetings and they said, well, at least we're not taxing it as high as Washington.
Interesting. Well, they're envisioning about a 25% excise tax in the retail stores, I know. So, but one thing I'm curious to ask you about is here they're saying, well, you're going to be paying more in these retail stores than on the black market, presumably. But we're going to have quality assurance testing. You're going to know that the marijuana you buy has no molds, no contaminants, that the food you buy, the marijuana-infused brownies, were produced in a clean kitchen and things like that. So they're kind of saying, you know, a lot of people are going to be willing to pay a little extra to have a little better assurance about what they're buying, what the components are. So I'm curious, in Colorado, has that been a selling point of the state system?
No, it's more, it creates a problem, you know, that you have medical on one side that's not taxed, and then you have recreational that's taxed. And I think that it comes down to simple economics. Not is one product more safe than the other. There's 108,000 people who hold medical registrations now, and they have a decision to make. Do they drop those registrations and the $35 annual fee and go see a doctor for the recreational stuff that's 30% more, or do they continue going with the medical? I think that they the people who grow the medical product, they take a lot of pride in it. They make sure that, you know, that it is properly inspected, that it's the good stuff. It doesn't have mold in it. And so there's a lot of pride there, and there's a lot of trust among the consumer base as well. So I don't think that that's really been an issue. I think it comes down more to simple economics and the price of the bud.
Colorado Public Radio's Ben Marcus is with me in the studio, along with KUOW's Amy Radel. They are both on the pot beat. And I want to go back to something you talked about earlier, Ben, and that has to do with the split between the city and the rural areas. We're all from cities that are the largest in our state, may have more liberal attitudes towards things like marijuana use than some of the smaller cities in other parts of the state. How is that split playing out in the legalization of marijuana in Colorado?
Sure. If you look at a map of all the dispensaries in Colorado, they're contained in really three cities: Boulder, Denver, and Colorado Springs. Now, Boulder and Denver obviously have a reputation as being some of the more liberal parts of the country. Colorado Springs is an interesting case. It's a much more conservative, but it has a libertarian bent. There's a kind of stay out of my business, which allows medical marijuana to flourish there. But a lot of the other communities, the rural communities, the same kind of social conservatism rules. And 80 different places, whether they be counties or cities in Colorado, have banned medical marijuana. And most of these are outside the city centers. And so you get that kind of, like you say, that big city rural mentality going on all across the state.
Amy Radel, how do you see that city rural split playing out with recreational marijuana in our state?
Being in Seattle, you can be in sort of an artificial atmosphere. I mean, we have a similar provision to Colorado's. It sounds like that marijuana has been the lowest enforcement priority. The Seattle Police Department, even when this passed, I thought they might still say, well, we're going to draw a very hard line about, you know, going after large-scale growers or something like that, even though possession became legal. But they said, no, we're really not interested. I mean, we see voters' intent with passing this law. Unless we stumble across it because we're in the, you know, we're trying to solve another kind of crime, we're just not going to be going after marijuana. But I think outside Seattle, it can be very different. Some cities have banned the medical marijuana dispensaries. They have no interest in having them, whereas in Seattle, they've been sprouting up everywhere in kind of this unregulated atmosphere. It passed in our section of the state, but some counties did not pass this initiative. And so it'll be interesting to see if any retail stores ever actually appear there.
Now, voters in Colorado and Washington State passed legalization of marijuana for use for adults. But hanging over this whole thing is what the federal government may or may not do. Of course, marijuana is still against federal law. And also, as we've been discussing, a lot of details to be worked out. And as we're told, the devil is in the details. Ben, what do you think is going to be the most difficult thing to work out going forward to make sure that the recreational marijuana sales and use works? Do you think that it could fail based on the failure of the regulatory system?
I think that you nailed it right there. The regulatory system, it has to have enough money to work it. It needs to have enough money to develop the tracking system. It needs to have enough money to have inspectors on the beat to go in and make sure that these plants are being grown and sold where they say they're being grown and sold. That's been the biggest problem with medical marijuana here in Colorado. We're often held up as the shining city upon a hill with the state regulatory model and, you know, our tracking system. That all turned out to be bunk, apparently. There wasn't enough license revenue coming in to support that system. And so these tax measures that the legislature is considering, and because of Colorado law, have to also go to the voters. Any tax increase has to be voted on by the voters. If those fail, there's a lot of fear that Colorado won't be able to develop the regulatory system that they're confident will keep the federal government from coming in and kicking down these doors and sending these people to jail.
That's really interesting because the tax is already in place here. Voters approved the tax on marijuana. What do you think is going to be the most difficult thing going forward on this, Amy Radel?
A couple things. I think price. They've talked about how it needs to, they want to offer all these additional benefits of making sure that it's, the quality and it's been tested, yet they don't want the price to go so much above this, the black market price or the medical marijuana price. So that's going to be a big pressure because they want to use the money to do all these things. And the state has hired a consultant who has already said that the revenue projection of $2 billion over 5 years was way overblown. We're not going to probably see nearly that amount. And then zoning is the other issue. Are there going to be enough stores to satisfy demand? And this same consultant recently floated the idea of allowing these stores to deliver to allow them to compete more effectively to save people the trip down to the, industrial neighborhood.
Amazon Fresh, maybe?
Yeah, exactly.
KOW's Amy Radel and Colorado Public Radio's Ben Marcus are both covering the marijuana beat. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.